Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
An Erio's original.
My name is Carrie Kenny, and I am guest hosting for the lovely Leslie, who is going to be away from the microphone for a little bit. And I'm going to do a few episodes. Hopefully, I can do them justice for her. If you don't know who I am an actress. I do comedy. You may remember me from a little television program called Reno 911, where I played a fake police officer. I don't know. I'm on all kinds of TV shows and movies and crap like that. But most importantly, I like to bake and I like to sew and I like to weave and I like to make crap that no one ever sees, but that I appreciate doing. So I'm going to talk to some other makers, doers, movers, shakers. David Wayne.
Hi.
I feel like a lot of people might not know how long we've known each other.
I'm looking out as if there's a camera.
The podcast audience of one. David and I have known each other for 31 years. We just celebrated our wood anniversary.
Our wood, would you like to be my friend for more years anniversary?
See, 31 years of that.
Yeah.
So I felt like I knew everything there was to know about you, because not only have we known each other for 31 years, like we've been in each other's faces.
We've lived together.
We've lived together.
We've played together. We've traveled together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done everything together for 31 years. But one thing that I found interesting was, as I was walking in the door, you were typing up a list of your hobbies.
A lifelong sort of sub-hobby is list making.
Yeah.
Certainly.
I think that falls under OCD.
Yes.
Which can be a hobby.
Yeah. Time management and researching time management and wasting time thinking about time management is definitely a hobby.
Well, what is the definition of a hobby? Because to me, it's something that you do to pass the time that you're not necessarily making money from. And if that's the case, then yes, one of my hobbies is worry. One of them is making lists and then worrying about the list.
Although you and I are in a profession where sometimes the thing that's a hobby can be overlapping with your work.
True, like my ukulele playing.
Exactly.
It hasn't started making me money yet, but I feel like two more YouTube tutorials and I'm going to be playing to at least four people.
As a hobbyist musician my whole life, I've always shoved myself into situations where I can play music on stage or on screen, even though I'm really not of the level to be able to do that.
But you are. You're great. In fact, on David's office door, it says drummer, which is, and I remember when we were in college in 1804 and you had business cards that had your, said Jim Stansel Productions.
Right.
Which was your company name at that time.
I used to just print up business cards just as a hobby.
Right. As a hobby and
various
hand them out
business cards.
As a hobby. And they said Jim Stansel Productions, president and drummer.
Right.
It says drummer and
culture buff.
Culture buff.
Which that's from when we were in our office and the publicist told us everyone had to say something that we're interested in.
And you said, I'm a culture buff.
No, and everyone, it was so funny. No, no.
What is a culture buff?
Everyone wrote something like, you know, I like knitting or whatever. And I wrote drummer / New York history and culture buff. And I was roundly made fun of for that. And Tom, I think, used to call me the culture buff, like just for years after that. And so on my office here at age 50, it says drummer/culture buff.
Which is so great, especially people that don't know you or know your history, that there's anything ironic about that.
I was sort of into that stuff, but it was just like I had to come up with something.
You are a great drummer.
Thank you.
We just had your drumming stylings last weekend at your 50th birthday celebration. We all went up to Ojai and you were...
And I hired a live band, karaoke band.
Yeah, and you spent more time behind the drums than the drummer. Thank God.
Right.
Because you were more entertaining.
Well, I said to the guys in the band, since I'm paying the bill,
right,
I'm just going to sit in on the drums when I feel like it.
Right. And not pay you as much because I did the drumming.
Right. Every time I played drums instead of the guy, I took money out of
right.
his pocket.
Well, and rightfully so. But you have so many hobbies, but you are somebody to me who, I mean, I relate because I can't sit still because I always want to be learning something. In fact, I was a little late today because I was teaching myself to play the strum stick, which P.S. I bought when we were shooting Wanderlust in Georgia.
Great time.
Amazing time. Had it in a case, hadn't opened it since I've been home, which is several years, and my son found it and said, "What's this?"
Wow.
And my first thought was,
that would be nine
"Oh shit,
years,
there
the
was
way.
A rifle in my closet." And I realized, "Nope, just a drumstick."
Oh my God.
And now I'm teaching myself to play it. And by teaching myself to play it, I mean I spent 3 minutes on a YouTube video that was sort of
not I know, but isn't that so
loading.
Fun that you can like learn things so quick?
Well, I don't know that I can, but I love to try. But you are the same in that I
get
I
obsessive
feel like,
with stuff all the time. Yeah, like 4 years ago or so now, I picked up the Rubik's Cube, which I had never
I
really...
I see one right behind your head right now. And it's completed.
Well, I had never really done it in the 80s when it came out, even though I was of the age of the kids that did. But now I'm like, okay, I'm an adult. I can learn this. And it took me a while, but now I can do it in 30 seconds.
I also love David because you're somebody who is crazy busy, a million projects... huge social life. You have
it's
two
really
young
sad.
Children.
I do.
And you somehow also manage to, because it's important. You have to have these
outlets. I was just
outlets.
Talking to somebody about how it's so easy to concentrate on things you want to concentrate on. For example, part of my job is to read certain scripts. And it's hard for me to read and sit down and just focus on mm-hmm. that. And I'll read like 2 pages and I'll be like, oh, I'm going to get distracted.
Yeah.
The other night, I wanted to videotape myself doing a certain magic trick. And I did 45 takes of it without a break.
Sure.
Until I got it right.
You brought up magic, and that was sort of like the primary thing that I think is incredible because it's also not, you know, a lot of people play an instrument, but magic is something that I feel like you could pull maybe a group of boys at a summer camp and maybe a quarter of them do magic.
Yeah.
But then to see someone actually carry it through and in a masterful way, and I want to brag about you for a second, David Wayne, am I even allowed to say this? Because it's kind of...
That's my...
Okay.
My whole name is fine because it's online
okay.
and stuff.
Okay. Oh. No, I just let the cat out of the bag. Yeah. His last name's Wayne. We call him Wayno. David Wayne is now an official member of...
Oh, right.
...the Magic Castle.
A magician member.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal for me because it is a very grueling audition process,
actually. No, it's
actually.
A big... Yeah. Deal. The Magic Castle is no joke.
No, you have to actually show that you really know what you're doing.
Yeah. No, but they're like any sort of old, how long has it been around?
Since the 30s, I think.
Yeah. So sort of any kind of fraternity or any kind of, you know, group like that, they want it to be taken seriously. And I think probably magic in general, I mean, I think some people change the sort of, you know, way people see magic that's kind of hipped it up a little bit in recent years. But when it's incredible, it's because it looks easy. Like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing.
And that's the whole thing. I have always been blown away by your magic.
Thank you.
And it's also a hobby that you think like halfway through your life, like, oh, I don't have time. You know, that's something I used to do or whatever. But the fact that you continued to pursue it.
When I was a kid, I was really, really into magic. And I loved watching Doug Henning on TV and David Copperfield and stuff. And then I had equipment and stuff. And I had my dad drive me around when I was 12 to birthday parties. And I was like, Wayno the Great, the magician. And we put an ad in the Jewish News and... I did a few birthday parties. I didn't do
so
it.
So you only did Jewish birthday parties?
No, I didn't actually. I did
he does one, kosher magic.
I did one where I didn't. They all spoke only Spanish, and I didn't know until I got there.
But they spoke the language of magic.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they liked what I did.
Okay.
So I did that as a kid. And then I actually went to magic camp when I was 10.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which was really crazy. And
how
then,
many people made the joke that we're not going to make your kids disappear? Was that like on the brochure?
I don't think anyone made that joke.
It's a pretty good joke.
I'm going to let them know about it.
Okay.
If I could.
If they do accept the joke, mm-hmm. can I just get a little something?
Yeah. I'm going to say they can throw you a little something.
Just a little something. Like even a mention, taste. Like an asterisk.
We'll get your beak wet in some way.
Because I write jokes for a living, you know.
Yeah.
They're not all great.
Supposedly I do too. Although my kids think I'm the least funny person on earth.
My son is obsessed with showing me other people's shows. And so then I frantically look up things I've done to show him. And it never works. He's never impressed by me.
So then here's my magic story. One of the teachers I had when I was very young said, when you become a teenager, you're going to get out of magic because you're not going to think it's cool and you're going to be more interested in girls. And I was like, not me. And then it kind of happened. But I did stick with it a little bit. I kept doing card tricks and stuff over my years. But then only in my mid-30s did I decide, I just really want to get more serious.
Did you see something? Was it like David Blaine all of a sudden or something?
I actually saw on YouTube this trick by Ricky Jay that I then recreated. I learned this one trick. And in order to learn it, it took me 6 months of study.
Wow.
To like really, it took forever before I could actually show it to another person.
Wow.
And then I kept working on it and still improving it and trying to get it right for years and years and years. And only yesterday morning did I feel like it was good enough to put out online.
Wow.
And so I did that.
What do you mean online? Like you put it on
it on YouTube just for kids.
You put it on YouTube.
But I have a YouTube channel and Instagram stuff that I sometimes put up magic tricks or music songs that I've made or whatever.
David, why didn't you tell me?
But none of it is for any reason. Like I'm not looking to promote anything or make any money, or it's just for whatever.
Well, you're a
I
performer.
Do drawings.
You're a performer. You know. And that's another thing that's been blowing me away lately is all your drawings and your doodles and your just that you have so many.
Anything to avoid working.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. Because I have that in spades.
Yeah.
But I would watch you do magic all day long.
It's so fun.
When I was in elementary school, there was a boy like that. And my mom hired him one year for my birthday party. And all I remember was thinking, like, he's a man. He had like a little, like sort of Ralph Macchio mustache. And I was like, well, he's an adult man. He's like he smells.
Sounds like your classic neighborhood magician.
Completely. And it was like the pheromones were on fire. And I remember like he had, I remember his cape. And I remember him wafting his cape towards me and me being like, oh, like he was one of the Beatles. And I was probably 10 and he was probably 13 or 14.
And there's no way chance he was one of the Beatles.
He wasn't one of the Beatles, but he was
the 11 spoonful.
Doug Henning.
Oh my
turns
goodness.
Out, yeah, I'm a lot older than you.
Okay.
Than
wow.
You thought
weird.
I was
okay.
Originally.
I'm thinking through this.
He don't know what happened to him, but my guess is you're not going to bump into him at the Magic Castle, but you never know.
Right?
Right?
You never know who you're going to see there.
Have you met other big, well, Penn and Teller?
I've met a lot of the magicians around. I mean, there's Penn and Teller like the ones that everyone's heard of, but
right.
A lot of the big people in the magic world, I've gotten to know a little bit and sometimes gotten to go for coffee and get to, you know.
And do you do your tricks for them?
I do just in the guise of like, look at this crappy thing and can you make it help me?
Yeah.
Give me a tip to make it better and stuff. Because if I sit with, for example, my friend Helder, who's like the top card guy.
Right.
And I say, look, here's this classic move or this one. And he's like, oh my God, he wants to like bury his head.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I can't believe you ever would do that in public. Like, please don't ever show anyone that, you know?
Do you remember when I had forgotten about this, but do you remember David Blaine was kind of around when we were in New York?
He used to literally come to our office doing the state at MTV.
I remember we had a party at my apartment downtown and he was like in the hallway pulling things out of people's ears.
But I think right at the very, very beginning of his career, he got in his head quite rightly that he should just go hang out
just
places
go hang out.
Where people who are interesting are. And he would literally just walk into our office every so often. And,
okay, I'm glad you remember that because part of me was starting to think it was some weird dream, some weird, when David Blaine would appear in the middle of our office. And just, oh, that actually happened. Okay. Yeah. So I wonder for you, like, do you think you started doing all these? Because I know you were like the youngest in your family.
Correct. Right. I had much older sisters.
And they were all sisters. And I remember you explaining, and I've seen you, you know, I saw you with your parents, and I remember the sort of dynamic of like you were the...
I was the court jester.
Right. And people loved everything.
Right.
And I was similar in the sense that for many years I was an only child. My father remarried and I have two amazing half siblings.
I know them both very well.
You know them very well, but they're adult people now, but they're a lot younger than me. So my point being, I was a only child for a while.
A lot of attention.
For you, you got a lot of attention. And I could do no wrong. My bits, my songs, my tap dancing.
Every dinner time was like a show.
Yeah.
And I would just do whatever and everyone's like, oh, David.
So that to me can go one way or another. And luckily it turned out you're talented because if you hadn't been and then you burst, you know, onto the scene as an adult and realize like, oh, no one else finds any of this humorous or interesting.
Right.
It could be really sad
for you.
Or
you just become a different kind of person. You're the guy who's like making jokes at the bar after
work. And, you know. Yeah, you could be that guy. But do you think having that kind of like confidence, because all these things that you gravitate towards, you do a drawing and then you turn around and you share it and you put it on YouTube or you put it on Instagram. So it's for you, it seems like a lot of it is about look at what I did, like sharing with people this cool thing that you've done, your music, your magic.
Well, actually, the amount that I don't share is pretty massive too. Like I
want to see that channel.
Well, I mean, I spend a lot of time, I like make songs a lot on Logic. I write music all the time. I play drums constantly.
Do you ever work? I'm starting between the Rubik's cubing.
Well, all my hobbies though are very sort of modular. And I mean, like tennis, you have to like go make an appointment and do it for an hour.
Yeah.
But piano, I can do for 2 minutes in between phone calls at work. And I have a piano here in my office or any of these things. Magic is the ultimate one. When I'm on the subway or have 3 minutes to wait in a waiting room, I can practice magic.
Pull a cotton ball out of some lady's ear.
Yeah. Or always have a deck of cards. So that's one of the reasons I gravitate towards those hobbies. And also I definitely like am a guy who likes to keep my hands busy and has always been that way.
That's why I like all the my little, I hate the word crafting, but all my things like that because I can have around the house, I have five projects going at one time.
In fact,
this one interests me now.
My mom was the same way and she was like a huge
knitter
and then before that, needle pointer.
Yeah.
And I picked up a little needle point kit when I was in Cleveland to do it with my kids and it was really, just the pulling it through completely brought my mom back in a huge way. But I taught my kids origami, like anything like little. And to me, all those things are also a great way to like not be on your phone.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other.
And so like, if I'm waiting in line, I'm doing cards or Rubik's Cube or something else with my hands instead of just flipping through Instagram. And I'm much happier that way.
Do you ever think to yourself, why do I have to do all these things? Because I feel like I started doing things. It was almost like a self-care thing. Like I know that if I sit, and I knew this as a kid, that sitting still was not good for me.
Right.
And I didn't know it like, you know, I just was a feeling like, whoop, can't do that. Gotta keep moving.
There's so much satisfaction in creating something or getting better at something to me. So like in drawing or music, or like to make something and have it be done and there it is. Those little incremental things like, oh, I couldn't do that yesterday. Now I can do it today. Like you work on something and there's a tactile and very literal way that you're better.
Voila, there it is.
Skills. It's so fun.
I think also in our business, the whole process takes longer than I think most people realize, right. Especially if you're going all the way from idea to writing to pre-production to production to post-production. It's not a very immediately gratifying business in that sense. So to have things that you can do that are like, boop, learned a song. There you go, world. Right. Here's my strum stick.
And that there's no stakes. You know,
like, right, right.
Like I said, a lot of the music stuff I do, it's for nobody. I don't play it for other human beings or for the internet or anything. I just literally struggle. I'll spend 6 months learning to play something on the piano and then I'm like, all right, next.
You know. Have you done shows at the Magic Castle yet? Because I know you can go there and see like close-up magic. And
I have not done a formal show there and possibly never will.
Okay.
But what I do do.
He said do-do. Very good. Everybody.
Is the Magic Castle has all sorts of spaces. And so as a member there, I have the right and the invitation to just
set up and
play and do card tricks like anytime, anywhere. And so I have done that. I'll go down in the bar and just start doing tricks and then people come around and
I'd like to see you just move in and see if they
see the thing is this takes time that I don't really have, but I'm going to make time at some point is invite like 20 people over to my house and do like a half hour show and then we'll hang out and go home. You know,
I would love that.
I could only have fit 20 people in.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, no. I mean, I would love to clean up after
it. I'll tell you all about it. Yeah,
I would love to hear about it after.
Great. You get it. Thanks.
Totally.
I'm glad you get it.
No, I would at least be 22.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, David and I, we've known each other for so long. We lived together. And you were telling me that you were thinking about taking up cooking as a hobby. Now, or just a way to feed yourself. Yeah. And it brought me back to when you and I lived together in New York in the 90s.
Yeah.
And as platonic friends.
Right.
And I think the only thing you and I ever ate or had in our kitchen was
the Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams cereal. Yeah. We lived on literally Golden Grahams cereal.
Well, I think we were going through, I know I was in my junior year of college, but I think we were both going through that phase of being like, oh, we're adults.
Yeah.
If we want to keep eating Golden Grahams and nothing else, no one's telling us not to. And we can just
screw you, world.
And we would finish one box like in sitting and then go get another one.
I also remember having an electric stove and roasting marshmallows on a fork over them and thinking the same thing. Like,
right.
I'm an adult now. I get to just do this and no one is telling me that I can't.
Right. Or you could have chocolate ice cream for dinner.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we were real rebels.
That's the kind of rebel stuff that we were into.
Yeah, like it's a miracle hardcore. We're not in prison.
I know.
I remember you playing squash when we were in.
Yeah, I started playing squash actually when I was about 30. So now I've played for 20 years and I totally love it. It's sort of an East Coast sport. And
it's very East Coast.
I live here in Los Angeles now, but I have found a place to play and I play a lot.
I used to play with my dad when I was younger.
Or was it racquetball?
No, it was full on squash with the long racket and the smaller ball.
Yeah, I love it.
And my dad and I used to play quite a bit, almost every weekend when I was growing up.
Oh, wow.
We were not good.
Come play with me.
I literally haven't played in 40 years.
I play with Matt Walsh all the time.
You play with Matt Walsh? Mm-hmm. Oh, I would love to see that. That's its own YouTube channel.
Maybe we should do that.
Matt and David play squash.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who do whatever they do and Instagram, all of it.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
But
I do play a lot of squash and I play tennis and I do a lot of Photoshopping for fun. And
you have tricks that you use on Instagram and you use it like an art. So you'll roll out. There's a few things that you do with your drawing, but then also with your sign
minor
changes,
sign changes
minor sign
hashtag
changes.
Minor sign changes,
and they're so good. I find myself sharing them with people. It's a great thing to sort of bring up when you don't know what to say. You just look up your hashtag minor sign changes. You need to do like a book of them.
Yeah, if I was smart I would probably try to monetize any number of these things.
But they're not jokes. They are the most subtle,
they're just weird, yeah.
Joke.
Well, there's one that I printed out up there that's on my office wall.
I wondered why that was up there.
Yeah, there's 11. You can see some with your
Howard
naked eye.
Howard Johnson's Cocktini's Restaurant.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah.
B-R-E-S-T...
this is a black and white
burlesque
photo.
Burlesque laser tag.
Of Times Square, Howard Johnson's from like the 70s.
And P.S., my dad and I used to go there and eat clams, fried clams. So you're wanting to learn how to cook. So you're thinking you're going to use like the Fresh Direct.
Well, for what it's worth, I do know how to cook and I have two kids and I cook for them all the time.
Yeah. And you guys do a cute little like, you do like tablescaping, you and the boys.
Well, they've loved setting the table.
Yeah.
And they're learning to cook basic stuff too. But I know how to cook the most basic foods well enough.
Right.
And I would like to just go one step beyond that. And a friend of mine did Blue Apron with her son while he was growing up for a year.
Yeah.
And by the end, he came out being an expert cook. Because I went over and the son cooked this incredible meal just on his own. And I'm like, oh my God, what like kid cooks so well? And he's like, we did Blue Apron. So
why don't you just skip the whole thing? You can spend more time on your Rubik's Cube and just hire this kid to be your personal chef.
I should do that. I might do that. And then he can also solve the Rubik's Cube, save time there.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God, he could do all your drawings. You could teach him to drum.
By the way, the drawings, I never was someone who learned or knew anything about drawing, but there's this app I found called Camera Lucida. And
I know it well.
It's so great.
I started using it because you had told me about it. And I'll tell you, if somebody sees it and thinks, oh, well, he's drawing this well because it's an app, you try it. Just because it helps you see and guides you does not mean you're going to come up with what you come up with on
it
there.
Basically, it just enables you to see the thing you're wanting to draw, like a photo, and what you're drawing at the same time.
You know that it's a very old concept.
Of course.
Yeah, and people have used it for years.
Of course.
To be able to draw something. So it's not like you're cheating or using something.
Well, it depends who you ask.
But I challenge them to try.
Right, but to me, it's like, I don't even care. Yeah. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to make money. I'm not trying to trick you. I never lie about it. It's fun for me. I love doing this drawing. And I've also learned a lot about stuff like shading and crosshatching and a lot about drawing just because I'm doing it. Yeah, I think it's absurd to be like, but you're using an app. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, unless you're going to like pull the stickers off the Rubik's Cube and put them back in order, that's cheating.
Oh my God, look, he wrote this great screenplay. No, but he used an app. He used Final Draft. Like, okay.
Right. There is a setting on Final Draft where you can just push it and it completes the screenplay for you. It puts in the most obvious ending.
I use that all the time.
You pay extra for that. You play poker. Have you played poker with Michael Black?
All the time. I mean, we live on separate coasts now.
Right. But I mean, you play poker like...
Like Da Vinci does art.
Well, now you're pushing it.
I play poker like De Niro acts. When I was single and girlfriendless, which was most of my 20s and into my 30s, I played a ton of poker. I played at the illegal poker room in New York in my neighborhood.
And we used to play at parties and we played at your birthday.
But when I got married and had kids, I consciously picked one thing to drop. And that's
wives don't love it.
Well, it was just...
I'm going to run off and
go
play poker.
I just couldn't do it. It was too much. But now I play maybe once a month, every month or two, and I love it.
As long as you're not losing the nest egg, what the hell?
I mean, what the hell, right?
It's like me and my crystal meth. I don't spend that much money. I come back like a month later.
Yeah, but you've lost so much weight, which is the bonus.
I look fantastic. It's just the dental bills that are killing me.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, so sad.
I know.
I find the psychology of how much a regular person is willing to lose at an evening of poker interesting. Like,
it's not always relative to how much money they have.
No, it's nothing to do with that.
No. It's sort of like when you drive around the valley and it's like, wait a second. Look at there's like a Jaguar and a Tesla and a Bentley outside of those tiny little apartments in an area you wouldn't expect.
Right.
It's sort of for some people status maybe to throw that much money around.
It's just different. Everyone has different psychology about different categories of what you do with money. And so I know people who would never spend more than $50 out at night for an evening of entertainment in any way will drop $500 at a Wednesday night poker game.
Do you get like a rush? Is it that, or is it the game? Is it the sort of
there's something
calculating?
To me, actually, once the chips are on the table and you're looking at chips, it actually, it doesn't, I'm enjoying just as much if it was a $20 buy-in versus if it was a $500 buy-in. But there is a feeling though that it's got to hurt a little to lose, or else it won't feel quite as good to win.
Right, right, of course.
Yeah.
Do you go in with a number? Like, tonight I'm not going to lose more than this, or?
Yo, I do. I come in with a certain amount of money that I know might go away, and then that's it.
That's all you're willing to lose.
I have had experiences, like I went to a celebrity's poker game that I won't name one time, and I was way in over my head, but I didn't think about it. I was like, I know how to play poker, it's great. Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
And I'm sitting there, there was a lot of money involved, so I brought like a ton of money just to be safe, just in case.
Yeah, you didn't want to be that guy.
And all of it was gone in like a minute.
Oh,
like,
no.
I couldn't believe it.
And then you're like, can I help you refill the chip
and
bowls?
It was it was the host of the party who got me so fast. Like,
oh,
it was like,
no.
I was like, before I sat down and had a bite of a sandwich, I was like, whoa.
You know, the second we click this podcast off, I'm finding out who this person is.
But you know, it's weird. This podcast isn't going to go on because you forgot to put the film in the camera.
Wait a second. Oh my God. There's a hair in the gate.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other hobbies?
I forgot. My screensaver
I know your list.
On.
Your screensaver went off.
Let me see.
Tennis and squash. Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of tennis lately, actually.
You do enjoy the sports for fun thing, which is something I've never quite understood. I remember you used to play or used to organize and play.
Oh, Ultimate.
Ultimate Frisbee, yeah. In Central Park.
I was big into that.
You were big into
that. In my 20s.
You like social sports for fun more than just for exercise.
I think most people do.
Not this guy, okay. Not me.
Well, but I don't
like anything having to do with sports.
Surfing with your husband.
No, I don't. Oh, no, I don't.
Gotcha.
I went surfing one time with my husband and the wave took me in and he said, jump up, jump up. As I jumped up, I caught my bikini strap on my board and went riding like a deer that had just, in a wet sack come out of its mom's body. I sort of got myself up on the board, top went flying, and I was screaming as I was riding onto shore. So I alerted everyone with my scream to look up, and there's this gangly fool topless riding in on a surfboard. That's my surfing experience.
So three takeaways from this story is bikini.
Yes.
Wet sack.
Yes.
And topless.
Yep. Sounds okay. Like a typical Friday night.
Yep.
Down, chicka, down, down.
Sounds like the theme of my bar mitzvah. Oh, what?
You wish. Wait. What do you mean when you say logic is one of your hobbies?
I just, I go on Logic, which is like Pro Tools, and I just, you know.
Oh, that's a music program.
It's a music program.
And I thought you meant like figuring things out.
No. But also my kids and I are really into escape rooms. That's another big one.
Oh.
Yeah.
So talk me through this because we think we're too scared to go to
them. No. Escape rooms is an unfortunate name for certain people. It's called
a
puzzle room. It's a puzzle room.
I am claustrophobic.
No, escape rooms are bigger than this room.
Like, I have to take a deep breath just hearing about this because what if I panic and I just want out?
You would just walk out the door.
Oh, the door can open.
It's never locked.
David, you just gave away the...
Yeah. It's not like you're stuck in like a coffin and you're like... you're literally just in a room that has different puzzles. And then you have to like figure out these puzzles that eventually lead to the door lock. You know, one thing leads to another there's various really fun, clever ways that ultimately result in either a key or a combination or something that opens the door.
So it's not like a horror thing.
Well, they have different themes. Some of them do have like a scary theme or like a, or you could be in an Egyptian crypt or you could be.
Is there like an abduction
theme?
Like you've been abducted by.
Yeah, we can get that.
Some cult leader.
Work that out.
That's a good one.
Yeah. There's a wide variety of different storylines that go in, and they're really fun.
I might do that just to make some extra money. I'll drive a van around town.
Yeah.
It's an escape van.
Yeah.
And I put you in it, and then I drive you around LA.
You know, another thing you could do if you need it, the extra money, is be a prostitute.
I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I could do that. I do have some free time on my hands between all the needle pointing and tablescaping.
Yeah. What you need to do, though, that you have to do an investment for that, which is to get a spray tan.
and business cards, because I feel like people won't know I'm a prostitute unless I hand them a business card.
Okay, but I'm going to give you, I'll send you offline, obviously, a web link that I know where you can get business cards for a pretty good price.
Okay, an offline web link.
Well, I'm going to give it to you. I don't want to give it to the listeners unless
you
they
can
happen
do that.
To be a sponsor.
I can just ask Jeeves. I'll find it.
Okay, fine.
Here's what we're going to do for the rest of the day. We're going to go in a car and we'll do the Rubik's Cube on the way to playing squash. Mm-hmm. And then when we get to the squash, you will play the drums.
I'm going to give an invite to anyone listening to this.
Okay.
If you want to have a jam session with me or play squash or tennis.
Okay.
I will meet you anytime. Anybody, anyone listening.
Wow.
You just let me know.
I will add to that. Mm-hmm. For anyone listening, will sit and eat a bowl of Golden Grahams with you.
I'm
going to be selective about who you are. I'm going to be honest. I'm not just going to pick anybody.
But I feel like we've got the listeners all set now.
They're running to their phones, to the hotline.
Well, I do have a toll-free number for this podcast.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, there is a toll-free number for the podcast. I do want to let you know that you can use. For those of you who want to get in touch but are not feeling like you're up for paying the toll, there is a toll-free number. So we're going to listen. Okay. For those of you who do need to get in touch, and this is a real number, you can call this 1-844-370-8643. That's 1-844-370-8643. And remember, do not worry, that is a toll-free call.
We're standing by. I love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Leslie will be back from hiatus in a few weeks. In the meantime, we have more episodes from the wonderful Kerry Kenny to come. Does listening to Filling the Void fill your void? Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.